is Nation Radio with Alan Mitchell, a.k.a. Low Tide. Presented by Edmonton Motors.
Only on Edmonton Sports Radio.
Team 1260.
7 minutes after 1 o'clock, this is Nation Radio. We're around until 2, and then it's Jungle Jim Hunter. And at 4 o'clock today, Jeff Crichel will be joining us on Team 1260. Big news today, actually, it was from last night. Robin Brownlee has an article up at Oilers Nation with regard to the NHL volley to the NHLPA in regard to negotiation. The major highlights from Robin's article are reducing the player's share of hockey-related revenue by 11% to 46% from the current 57. The NHL service to UFA status would increase to 10 years under the CBA that expires on the 15th of September at 7. So that would be good news for the Oilers that have more control of Hall, Ebbs, Nuge, Yakupov. And then in regard to Yakupov, standard entry-level deals would be for 5 years. The standard now is 3 years. So interesting stuff. And there also seems to be, and we talked to James Myrtle about this, an issue about what constitutes applicable revenue. We don't know how deep that goes and how major an issue it's going to be, but it's there and it's real and it's a basic nightmare. And so everybody I have talked to and read online or anywhere says don't expect to start to the season in October. We might be looking at December. So there you go. That's what we know now, and we'll move on to actual hockey talk. And Eric Tulski from NHL Numbers has written a series of absolutely incredible articles at NHL Numbers, talking a little bit about possession and zone starts and zone finishes and what you do in the middle of the ice, which maybe we've never thought about. So Eric joins us now to talk a little bit about this. Eric, I really love the work you're doing at NHL Numbers in regard to zone entries. Tell me about this project.
Sure. So what we did is we watched every Flyers game this year, and every time a player brought the puck into the offensive zone, we recorded which player did it and how they did it. Did they carry it in? Did they dump it in? How did the puck get in there? And with that little piece of information, we can actually draw a whole lot out about how much of the shot generation happened in the offensive zone, how much of it happened based on how they entered the zone from the neutral zone. And we can basically separate out how players performed in each zone.
Have we seen this kind of research in the past?
Nope. This is a unique thing. It started at Broad Street Hockey, and we looked at the playoffs as a trial run the year before last and then did the full regular season and playoffs this year. And as far as I know, that's the first time it's been done in North American leagues. We actually know that the Soviet Russians did it way back in the day, but this is the first time it's been done in the NHL that I know of.
Which might explain their possession techniques and their what we consider to be overpassing back in 1972.
That's exactly right. When we got about halfway through the study, and I was coming to the conclusion that teams were doing a lot better if they carried the puck in rather than dumped and chased, I came across an article describing what the old Soviet Russians had done, and they did this exact same tracking and came to that exact same conclusion. And that's exactly why they refused to play dump and chase, was they had these same numbers in front of them.
The conclusions that you're reaching, you know, a lot of them make sense, and some of them are, you know, defy logic, and we'll talk about that. And you're very good at questioning those things that are outside the line of what we would consider normal. One example of matching logic is that dumping the puck and losing possession is a bad bet, as we talked about with the Russians, and it really does come to fruition. The information that you passed along at NHL Numbers really shows us that.
Yep, and this is one of the things that I think is really solid. We ended up with over 10,000 entries, almost 10,000 at even strength. And in those even strength entries, we find that if you carry the puck in, you get more than twice as many shots and you get more than twice as many goals as if you dump it in. There's enough data there, and it's true of both the Flyers and their opponents, and it's true across all their opponents. That seems to be really solid. And it's something that I think surprised a lot of people. Everyone kind of knows that dumping it in isn't going to get quite as much offense, but that it being more than twice as much, some people expected that, some people are surprised by it.
One of the items that came as a shock to me, and I'm really glad that you prefaced it by saying, hey, listen, this is an area that we're looking at, but it looks like this. Neutral zone play may be a much more important item than we thought previous to this, correct? Is that correct?
Yeah, it's exactly right. So it turns out, you know, we say that dumping the puck in gets half as many shots. That's kind of true no matter who it is that's dumping it in. And across the team, from the skilled players to the unskilled players, everybody does a lot better if they're carrying it in than if they're dumping it in. And so the mentality that's out there that the unskilled players ought to just dump it in, that's not necessarily true.
And you also don't count things like dumping it in for line changes. That wouldn't be part of your overall data, correct?
That's right. We looked for a lot of ways that this data could get skewed, and that was one of them. So we eliminated the plays where you just dump it in and go for a change. These are only plays where the team is trying to generate offense. Another thing we did to try to reduce the skew in the data is we tracked how many odd men, which plays were odd man rushes, and we can remove those, and we find that there aren't as many of them as people think. And they really don't, you know, they are more dangerous, but there aren't enough of them to really skew the data significantly.
The information we've talked about so far are brought to the fore in an NHL Numbers article on June 20th called Zone Entries. And then on July 9th, you posted an article that was titled The Importance of Neutral Zone Play. And in that article, you say that once they get through the neutral zone, guys like Claude Giroux and Zach Rinaldo performed at about the same level. Can you expand on that?
Yeah, so this is where it gets really surprising to me. And it's worth emphasizing here, we only have this one team this one year. And so this might not prove to be true in the long run. You got to be careful with the statistics about what we really know and what we just suspect. But at this point, at least for this one year, everybody basically got the same number of shots after they dumped it in. And the difference between Giroux and Rinaldo is maybe where those shots came from and how likely they were to be goals. But those tend to be relatively minor corrections. The bulk of goal scoring is driven by just getting shots. And so at least from this one year, from this one team, as hard to believe as it is, it seems like the difference between the two players is mostly how often they carry it into the zone. And once they're in the zone, Giroux and Rinaldo are about equally likely to get a shot off. That's pretty surprising. And where that leads you then is really then how you evaluate a player is largely on how often they advance the puck, and when they advance it, how often they manage to retain possession as they cross the line.
Well, the interesting thing for me as an Oiler observer and fan is to apply that template onto the Oilers as a team. Alex Hemsky has been a lightning rod player here for years because of exactly turnovers at the blue line where he's trying to make a play and the puck is shot out. I've always argued that turning the puck over at the opposition blue line is not a disaster. You can regroup and you've got players back. But the number of times that he actually gains possession and everybody can get in and they begin not necessarily a set play, but they begin to riff off of each other and they still have possession, that has, based on your information so far, extreme value and may make a player like Alex Hemsky even more valuable than he's currently perceived.
Yep, I agree completely with that. One of the things we looked at is when a play gets at the end of a play, what is most likely to result in the puck going back the other way. And everybody, those turnovers at the blue line that turn into a rush the other way, those stand out in your memory really strongly. And you don't remember how often after a dump-in the other team got the puck and carried it down. But it turns out that actually, if anything, maybe dumping it in makes the other team a little more likely to have the next entry. Certainly, it's not less dangerous. You feel like it is because you're making them go the length of the ice, but it's a lot more likely that you're just giving them the puck. And so my hunch is that we're going to find that as we collect this data, people are too scared of that blue line turnover. And Jake Voracek was the guy on the Flyers who's like Hemsky on the Oilers. He makes those blue line turnovers occasionally, but he was one of the best Flyers at actually gaining the zone with possession. And that really made him stand out as those times that he carried the puck in matter a lot more than the occasional time that he turns it over.
in conversation with Eric Kulski from NHL Numbers, and we're talking some really interesting items in terms of zone entries and puck possession. If we mirror this, Eric, then a player like Chris Pronger, who is known for standing up at the blue line and making that possession extremely difficult, as opposed to innumerable defensemen who back off with the speed of the play, that makes him more valuable too.
Yep, that's exactly right. The split in defensemen is much narrower than the split in forward. It just, the forwards tend to be more involved in the play. But for sure, the defensemen who are good at challenging that blue line and who are good at making the first pass that leads to an entry with possession the other way, those are critical skills for a defenseman to have.
Interesting stuff. Are there retrieval players, what I call puck retrieval players on the Flyers, who, once it was dumped in, seemed to have an impact? Or was it really just scattergun and Chaos Incorporated? Because getting possession after losing it, I've watched hockey since the 60s. I've seen so much of that. And just in my own brain, I can tell you the success rate's probably well less than 5% of actually getting the puck and being able to set up in a similar way than you would with the puck possession.
Yep. If there are differences, they're small enough that we couldn't see them after a season. It was, some guys get 0.3 shots after they dump it in, and some guys get 0.28, but that difference is tiny. And in fact, if you split up the data, odd numbered games and even numbered games, you'd expect, if there's some real talent, if I tell you how a guy did in the odd-numbered games, you could guess how he did in the even-numbered games. And it turns out that's not how it works at all. A guy might be on the high end in the odd-numbered games and in the low end in the even-numbered games. And so what that means is that the players are all similar enough that if there is a difference in talent, we can't see it over the course of a season.
Well, I find this
so
to be...
At least, sorry, go ahead.
I was just going to say, I find this to be fascinating because as a fan of the game, the things that you're talking about, some of them are intuitively correct in my own brain. Some of them are revolutionary because I don't really think of neutral zone as being a major factor in a hockey game. So yep. With the Flyers being the first look, is there a plan to do this with more teams next season?
There is. So part of why I've written a series of articles is it was a little bit of a call to arms, and I've been getting emails from a variety of people who are interested in tracking their team and seeing what they can learn. And that'll help them know more about their team, and it'll also help the league as we start to have more teams to compare to. We'll learn, maybe some aspects of what I'm seeing are a result of how the Flyers play, and being able to compare across teams will be really helpful.
So
I completely agree with you about it changing how we see the game. I also am on the edge of my seat when the puck is in the zone because that's where the goal might be scored. But once you start doing this analysis and you realize how important the neutral zone is, you start to see it differently. You realize which players really are making those good decisions at the blue line, and it comes across very differently once you're thinking of it in these terms.
For the project score sheet that you just talked about, each NHL team, having somebody score this in a similar way that that was done for the Philadelphia Flyers, is there going to be two individuals per team, or how are you going to make sure the quality remains the same through the entire study?
Yep. So, the more people we can get, the better, and when we can get multiple people tracking a team, that's great. The other thing we can do is we'll have games where, when the Flyers are playing the Sabres, if I have somebody tracking the Sabres game, I can compare my notes to his and see how different they are. And so as you start to get enough teams that you have a reasonable number of games where guys on both sides are tracking it, you start to be able to compare results and make sure it comes out about the same. But it's not like a scoring chance tracking project where there's a lot of decision-making about whether this is close enough that I want to count it as a scoring chance. It's pretty clear, did the puck cross the blue line or not? And the only subjective decision in there is when it's a dump-and-change play that you want to eliminate. And that's usually pretty clear. You can usually... There's not a lot of judgment to be made usually in whether it's an offensive play or just an attempt to change.
I remember a game Philadelphia played against Edmonton. I remember it because Hartnell tried to take out Magnus Pajärvi's knee after he got angry about a Corey Potter clean hit, and I yelled at my television, so I remember the game. Do you score the games individually? Is there a way to access them, or is it all just gathered together?
We do have individual games all stored. We don't have that information publicly accessible yet, except for in my write-ups. But as we get farther into this project, we may try to make a public database so that people can look up information and extract what they want to out of it and get more than just my eyes on it.
Eric, where can we read you, and where can we contact you? I know you're going to get a ton of questions because this is a hockey mad area, and you're going to open up some ears and eyes, and people are going to have you a million questions. So where can we read and email you as well?
Yep. So I write NHL-wide stuff, like the study we're talking about, is at nhlnumbers.com. And I also write stuff more Flyers-specific at broadstreethockey.com. And my Twitter account is at @BSH_EricT.
Eric, I enjoyed this so much, and I would love to have you back again. You have a great afternoon.
Okay, thanks a lot.
Eric Tulski from NHL Numbers, and really fascinating stuff about the neutral zone and how you win the blue line, having, you know, 2+ times impact. Connor, did you learn, what did you learn from that conversation with Eric?
I learned that the Oilers need more puck carriers, and Taylor Hall needs to just carry it in every time.
You know, the Oilers have some great, you know, Hall, Hemsky, Gagne can do it, the Nuge.
Pjärvi.
Yeah, they're doing it. This is, you know, I probably won't live long enough to see it, but you youngsters are, by the way, I just want to draw attention to the fact that you're just blowing it all over the place on Twitter this afternoon. We do have some Rough Rider news for Rider fans. We know there's a few out there. They're getting a new arena in, was it 1217?
Yeah, at first sources said 1017. That was later confirmed to 1217.
You know, I'm just saying there
I
might
need more sleep, I think.
There might be a reason you got 143 followers. I'm just saying.
I honestly thought it was 12, like... I don't even know.
It's okay.
On the way, 2017.
Yeah, sure.
Just to confirm to everybody out there.
Which is, what, 4 years from now? Five?
You don't want to ask me. I don't even know.
Okay, we're going to take a break. On the way, Rob Volman from Hockey Abstract, another guy with a really interesting insight into the way we can look at hockey players and how they're used by coaches and how well they're doing in specific disciplines. That's on the way. This is Nation Radio, brought to you by Edmonton Motors.